begin by reminding you of these words we sang together. Now Christ is raised and will not die again. Death has no more dominion over him. Please be seated. I want to begin with that because it is pertinent to the story I'm going to tell you. I have a friend who was a priest for a long, long, long time in Mississippi. I think he started at the church in Greenwood, Mississippi in the 60s and continued there until the 90s. He served there a very, very long time. And he was telling me the story of one of his parishioners who had also been there about that same length of time, an old cotton plantation guy who was kind of set in his ways. And during the tumultuous 70s, when the Episcopal Church changed everybody's life so dramatically by issuing a new prayer book, some of y'all may remember those times, right? And daring to ordain women to the priesthood, the church was in an exciting time, right? A little bit of turmoil, a little bit of discussion over that, and this gentleman in his parish just couldn't take it anymore. So he sets up an appointment with the priest and comes stomping into his office, just very angry, upset, and he says to him, "Your people, you have ruined my religion. You have ruined my church. All these changes, I can't do these changes anymore, and as a matter of fact, I believe Jesus is rolling over in his grave right now at everything you've done to the church." Now, changes hard, right? I get that. And particularly changes in how we pray are really hard. But the bigger issue for him, I think, was theological, right? If Jesus is actually in a grave to roll around in, I don't know why we're here this morning, right? Need a little work on that. I'm going to talk some about that today. I'm going to talk to you about resurrection and about cornerstones and about shepherds and about pursuit. We have great lessons today, don't we? Easter season, let me tell you, is so fun for preaching. We just get so much to choose from, and I've narrowed it down to about 4.5 sermons for you today. But I hope you are enjoying this time, the great 50 days. If you were here last week, Scott Gunn, our guest preacher, talked about that. You know, Easter's not just a day. We got a little ways to go, and that's awesome. Because it is a time of joy and a time of hope and a blessed assurance. And it is a time of resurrection in so many different ways. What a great way to deepen our walk with Jesus during the Easter season are these scripture passages, starting with the 23rd Psalm. Maybe the most familiar passage of the Bible for most of us. I've been ordained a little over 15 years, and it has been part of every funeral service I've done as an Episcopal priest. But of course, in the King James Version, right? I saw you struggling with the prayer book version. I heard some thous and thes coming out. That's okay. It's ingrained in us, right? It's part of our DNA. It's like the traditional version of the Lord's Prayer. You know, it's just part of who we are. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. We never say maketh in general life, right? But the psalm's not correct unless we're saying he leadeth me and he restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Isn't that just better than this modernized version? And we all know, of course, that when this was written, God was speaking the King James English. There's no doubt about that, right? Change of heart. And Bible translations change. They evolve over time, and part of it's because we learn more about ancient languages. Sometimes we find older versions of manuscripts, but also English changes over time, and biblical translators have to adapt with that. And while we may prefer the familiar, to be more accurate, our more modern Bibles can say things a little differently. I'll offer this to you. A better way, according to the experts, to understand the opening verse of that psalm is to say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack for nothing." I lack for nothing. This image of God, Yahweh, as our shepherd, is one we like, one that brings great comfort to us, doesn't it? God is with me, so I have no need for anything else. Like the Lord's Prayer reminds us, to just pray for our daily bread, just what we need today. For with God, I lack for nothing. Nothing that matters. Even when we're afraid, we're in that valley. Even when we're in pain. Even when our enemies are all around us, that psalm tells us. I love that part of the psalm. That God's saying, look, you're surrounded by enemies. Let's have dinner. Right? Just set a table right there and there on there. We're not going to worry about them. Because I am with you, and you will lack for nothing. In fact, your cup runneth over. In the gospel, Jesus takes his God as our shepherd image further for us. He makes some bold claims, this Jesus of John's Gospel. I am the good shepherd, Jesus proclaims today, and I am not like the hired hand. In fact, I'm so not like the hired hand that I offer to lay down my life for my sheep, my precious sheep. See, they listen for my voice. They know my voice. Do we? Do we know Jesus' voice? Sometimes it may be hard to hear with all the noise in our lives. But I think we do. I think we know Jesus' voice because we have gotten pretty good from time to time with ignoring it, with preferring the voice of the hired hand instead of the good shepherd, forgetting this unconditional love that we need and that we crave. We think we know better, or perhaps more so, we are easily lured away, lured off track. We wander from the shepherd. And folks, I think you know this. I know it's been true in my life, and I would imagine in every one of your lives, there are still wolves out there. And so we too need to hear it again. I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep of my own accord, my own decision, my own offering. Last week, the Acts passage contains the beginning of a sermon from Peter, and we pick that up again this week with the ramifications of that sermon. Here's Peter, an eyewitness to the resurrected Jesus, and that's a very important point to keep in your mind. After Peter and John are arrested for daring to heal this lame man and giving credit to Jesus and the power of the resurrection, the authorities foolishly, I think, ask, well, by what power, by what name did you do this? I don't think they wanted the answer they got. Peter boldly replies, well, it's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. By the way, you crucified him, but he didn't stay dead. God has raised him from the dead. That's the power that Peter is talking about. By what power? You know the answer. So when it says things like, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep, Peter reminds us that this good shepherd, this Jesus, is that stone that the builders rejected. That's a prophecy from the Psalm. That has now become the cornerstone. It is our foundation that everything else is built upon. As Peter so wonderfully puts it, for Christ to be the cornerstone, for that to really work and to really help and to really count and to really make a difference, then look, he cannot be in a grave somewhere rolling over every time he is upset with us. Doesn't work that way, right? Now, you may disagree. You may disagree with what I'm about to say, in fact, and that's okay because I want you to know that I love you anyway. But for me, my cornerstone belief is that the Good Shepherd did exactly what he said he was going to do. Laid down his life and then took it back up again. And he rose. Yet every year, and this says something I'm sure about the circles that I run in and the things that I pay attention to, but every year around Easter I read articles or hear sermons from those who just cannot go there. They want to talk about a spiritual resurrection, a metaphorical one, a symbolic one, just a metaphor for spring or new life or new growth or transformation. Well, that's not power. I remind you that in our baptism service, these are the things that we profess, using Paul's words from Romans chapter 6. I'll read you how Eugene Peterson translates that. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. And we are raised up out of the water. It is like the resurrection of Jesus. So listen, he says, each of us is raised into a light-filled world. So we can see where we're going in our new life. Resurrection matters. The resurrection of Jesus matters, and I'm not ashamed to say it. Cornerstone, and it's sheep, and it is resurrection, and it is pursuit. It is the resurrection of Jesus that is that cornerstone that Peter speaks of. For it is in encountering the resurrected Jesus after the crucifixion that Peter and all the disciples are so dramatically changed. This world and life-changing event of the resurrection continues to change us. It pursues us and inspires us and amazes us, I hope, and certainly it should bring comfort to us. Now, pursuit is another good word for us today, so I want to close by looking once again at our favorite psalm. At the end of the 23rd Psalm, there's a message that might surprise you. The words are this: surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Well, isn't that sweet? Can't you just see it? Oh, here comes goodness and mercy. And kind of following after me. I turn around, it's like a puppy, right? There's goodness and mercy. It's so nice that God wants to do that for me. Look, that's a lovely image, but it is a very weak translation. The power in the psalm is far greater than what our English translation puts it. But we can at least take a glance at the original Hebrew intent of that passage. More accurately, we should say this in those last verses. Surely the steadfast love of God, as a never changing, unconditional, my cup runneth over love of God. Surely that is what's after me. Surely the steadfast love of God, listen to this, the Hebrew verb is not to follow me, it is to pursue me all the days of my life. Think about that. Pursue me is the same Hebrew verb used to describe an attacking army chasing down their enemies when they are retreating. Well, to me, that's not the same as follow me. It is active, it is relentless, and it is always, always, always there coming after you. It is God's love, my sisters and brothers. Goodness and mercy do not meekly or politely follow you. They are after you hard. Cornerstone. It's resurrection. It's pursuit. And it all comes together in this, I think, that you and I are always and forever being chased. Slow down. Let God's love catch you. Let the resurrection of Christ be your foundation and uphold you in all aspects of your life. Hear the Good Shepherd's voice calling you. The cornerstone is already in place, and it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the pursuit is upon us. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Come, Lord Jesus. Come and catch us. Don't slow down. Come and be with us, our resurrected Good Shepherd, and pursue us with your steadfast love. Amen.